Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
We're going to continue chapter 8 and chapter 1. We're going to read text number 6 through 10. What happened in 1 through 5? Just yesterday, what happened?
Stringent loss of.
Huh?
Stringent loss of material in the Almighty.
Say, clearly?
Stringent loss of Almighty.
Stringent loss. What was the story about? What happened? Yajnas to be conducted by Maharaj Yudhisthira. and thus caused his virtuous fame to be glorified in all directions like that of Indra, who had performed 100 such sacrifices. That's pretty interesting. 3 = 100. It's not the Ashwamedha Yajna itself. Why was the Ashwamedha Yajna being performed anyway? Why would Krishna be interested in Ashwamedha Yajna? What's the purpose of an Ashwamedha Yajna?
To establish the benefit of the people. For the benefit of the people.
Yeah, and also to counteract whatever there may be for some wrong, counteracting of wrong and distributing good reaction, good benefit to the citizens. Because the whole citizenry was in this disturbed state of distress, the state of giving auspiciousness and leaving Maharaj Yudhisthira for inauspiciousness, whatever there may be perceived inauspiciousness in the life of a pure devotee. Comment in the purport goes primarily to the name, good name and good fame of a devotee. Like Maharaj Yudhisthira is spread all over the universe on the level of Maharaj Yudhisthira. So he didn't go to the heavenly planets, but he was known in the heavenly planets. His fame was known in the heavenly planets. And his, that portion of his opulence, because there's, Prabhupada comments in the purport, the material wealth of the heavenly planets is hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of times greater than this earth. But the shame, because persons often become famous for their wealth or beauty or knowledge, his fame was equal to that of Indra. This is because of his devotion. He's famous for his devotion. And in a sequence, Prabhupada says the same thing three times in different ways. That's a very important message. And when Prabhupada does that, we should understand it's a very important message. He explains that Krishna is equal to everyone. The mercy of Krishna is available and distributed and given equal to everyone. But a devotee of the Lord is more glorified because he is always in touch with the All Great. Then he explains it again. It's a question of receptivity. The sun shines everywhere, but some places are always dark. So, according to receptivity, or being always in touch, then one manifests, one receives the full-fledged mercy of the Lord, and then manifests that full-fledged mercy of the Lord. And that's where great reputation comes. So Indra's wealth of the heavenly planets, the heavenly kingdom, that's one of the mercies of the Lord. The even greater mercy of the Lord is pure devotion. So go back to fact is, the Lord is equally merciful for everyone, just as the sun shines equal everywhere and the rain rains equally everywhere. Common thing, example that Prabhupada would use, just like yesterday, this is what Prabhupada explained. When a person is very charitable, he's compared to a cloud that distributes rain everywhere. The rain doesn't distinguish. Well, here are some trees that need some rain. There's a parking lot that doesn't need any rain. It doesn't rain on the parking lot. It doesn't rain on the ocean. It doesn't need any water. Rain doesn't discriminate. The rain just rains. The sun just shines. And similarly, the Lord is just merciful. But you see, some have wealth, and some have devotion, and some have fame. So it looks unequal. And the secret is, being disclosed here, it's the differentiation of receptive power. How receptive? How much is one always in touch with the Lord? By devotion, one is always in touch with the Lord. Not sometimes, not when you're just sitting and doing your meditation, but by devotion, it's all the time in touch with the Lord. And therefore, the devotee manifests 10%. The full-fledged mercy of the Lord. And that expands their fame far more. Wealth, or how many Ashwamedhi Yajnas. The measure is the measure of the receptive power. So that tells us something about our own stage of Krishna consciousness, or even simply how we chant. How much present are we with Krishna when we're chanting? In principle, if this is an equal access, an equal opportunity organization, for the languages, equal opportunity organization. No discrimination. Age, intelligence, race, gender, handicap, but there's no, it's being present. And as we practice and practice and practice and practice and practice being present with Krishna, we get his mercy. So Maharaj Yudhisthira was, his fame was glorified in all directions, equal to that of Indra. Okay. So the Ashwamedha Yajna is done, the fame of Maharaj Yudhisthira has thus expanded, the citizens are receiving auspiciousness through the result of the Ashwamedha Yajna. Any irregularities that may have existed, apparently existed, were adjusted by the Ashwamedha Yajna. And now, text 7, Lord Krishna then prepared for his departure. Here's how he did that. He invited the sons of Pandu, after having been worshipped by the Brahmanas, headed by Srila Vyasadeva. The Lord also reciprocated greetings. So the scene is, he's saying goodbye in an appropriate way. With the Pandavas, he invited them to come see him before going. He went to go see the Brahmanas and was worshipped by the Brahmanas. The Lord also reciprocated that greeting. He worshipped them. So, in the purport, Prabhupada discusses the Brahmanas on the caliber of Vyasadeva. They understood who he was, the personality of Godhead, so they worshipped him. But Krishna, from his side, was playing the role of a Kshatriya, and so he worshipped them. The cultural point here is a Brahmana is obedient, a Kshatriya places himself subordinate to and obedient to the Brahmanas. He worships the Brahmanas. He's submissive to the Brahmanas. This is part of when you hear in this first canto protection of Brahminical culture, upholding Brahminical culture. This is what it means. It doesn't just mean getting the Brahmanas to go into Pramakam the youngest. It means that the proper culture is there of respect and obedience. So, while Krishna was Krishna, the personality of Godhead, he was teaching by his example, here's how you do it, here's how you behave as a good king. Prabhupada writes, the Lord never deviated from the customary usages between the four social orders of society. The Lord purposely observed all these social customs so that others would follow him in the future. Chaturvana Maya Shrishtam Vunapana Vibhavisha, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, he creates the system. He follows the system. Although he doesn't have to follow the system. He doesn't have to create the system either. But he creates it and then he shows by his example how you should conduct yourself. Although he is the personality of Godhead. He's above anything. But he says it's like that in Bhagavad Gita. There's nothing I have to do. But I do so many things. We do things because we have to do. And so we do so many things. We're impelled by the modes of nature, we're impelled by our past karma, we're enjoined by the Vedas. You know, there's pushes and pulls all over the place for us. So there are things that we have to do. But Krishna, there's nothing he has to do. But he does. So he did the customary social functions. It's not, and while saying, speaking it like that, it's not mechanical or simply dutiful. He was very heartfelt. And you can be sure the Brahmanas' hearts were melted, the Pandavas' hearts were melted. All the royal family not wanting him to go. He's saying goodbye. Then, text 8, as soon as he seated himself on the chariot to start for Dwarka, he saw Uttara hurrying toward him in fear. Who's Uttara? Who's Uttara? Abhimanyu's wife. What else can you say about Uttara? Huh?
Maharaj Parikshit.
The mother of Maharaj Parikshit. What else can you say about Uttara? Speak loudly, distinctly.
Arjuna's daughter-in-law.
Okay, Arjuna's daughter-in-law. Arjuna, what did Arjuna do in relation to Uttara?
He taught her
dancing. Dancing. What was the circumstance that he taught her dancing? Arjuna is a great warrior. Why did he teach her dancing? Someone else? Think of what? What's the story?
When they were in the forest, like in a enclosed office.
This is after the 12 years of exile. There was 1 year of incognito. during that time. So a little more detail. Whose kingdom?
Virat.
There we go.
Then he was teaching to the teaching.
So it's the king of Virat, and the king's name was Uttara. Because she's Uttara. Ah. Okay. So she's, just imagine, everyone's so sad, they've been grieving, they've lost so many relatives. Krishna assisted them in the funeral. Krishna carried them by his transcendental knowledge out of those feelings of misplaced affection. Krishna arranged a 3 Ashvamedha yajnas. Fame of Yudhisthira, it's just like everything's set straight again. Now Krishna's leaving, and they don't want him to go, and he's saying goodbye, and he's on his chariot, and this imagine a big public forum, the common place, the marketplace, or the common square, crowded, crowds and crowds and crowds and throngs. People working their way through the crowd, throngs of people as Uttara, in great distress. Prabhupada writes in the purport, all members of the family of the Pandavas were completely dependent upon the protection of the Lord. And the Lord, therefore, the Lord protected them. All of them, in all circumstances. Once again, the Lord protects everyone. The one who depends completely upon Him is especially looked after. This is the sun shining everywhere, for example, again. The father is more attentive to the little son who is exclusively dependent upon the father. So, Uttara reaches Krishna and she cries out, Pahi, Pahi, Mahayogin, Deva, Deva, Jagatpate, Nayam, Tvad, Abhayam, Pashye, Yatra, Mrityum, Parasparam. Uttara said, O Lord of Lords, Lord of the universe, you are the greatest of mystics. She needs something mystical because the monster is after the child in her womb. Who can stop this but Yogeshwara, the master of all mystics? Please protect me, for there is no one else who can save me from the clutches of death in this world of duality. We're going to find out in the next verse. She's not asking, let this Brahmastra kill me. That's okay. The child in the womb, this is the descendant of the Pandava dynasty. And this Brahmastra is meant to kill the child in my womb so that there's no heirs to the Pandava dynasty. That's what a person. First it's behead the sleeping sons. Now this. Bad. Now, protection is physical, but it's also protection from duality, is the message in the purport, or in the verse. Save me from the clutches of death in this world of duality. Who's the controller of duality? Krishna. So when duality is giving you a hard time, take shelter of Krishna. It's because we are neglecting to take shelter of Krishna that duality is giving us a hard time. The world of duality is composed of matter and spirit, whereas the absolute world is completely spirit, without any tinge of material qualities. In the dual world, everyone is falsely trying to become master of the world, whereas in the absolute world, the Lord is the absolute Lord, and all others are his absolute servitors. In the world of duality, everyone is envious, Prabhupada is italicized, envious of all others. And death is inevitable due to the dual existence of matter and spirit. The Lord is the only shelter of fearlessness for the surrendered soul. One can save himself from the cruel hands of death in the material world. One cannot save himself from the cruel hands of death in the material world without having surrendered himself at the lotus feet of the Lord. So it's not that you surrender yourself to the lotus feet of the Lord and won't die, but the cruel hand of death just got notice of love, peace with the sitting there chanting, and notice bad things with technology. And just in Skype, Raja Vihari sent a notice that Janava Devi last night died. Janava is there's different Janavas, but this one was the working with the children of Krishna in Alachua. She herself was a Gurukul. She was in touch with many, they had a hot mind, whatever children were in distress, and she was just always there to take care of people, just like super personality. She had a diabetic condition, and just her body deteriorated, and she died. But she died in a very auspicious way. The details of that I don't know, but it happened just last night. Very famous amongst the youth in ISKCON, a very prominent personality, kind of like prominent like Rama is. Although he's in it, we know of him because of this public way that he moves around, but the confidential one, she's a very, very important person in that youth group. A very wonderful soul. So it's not that you become a devotee and you don't die, but the auspiciousness under which she left the body was, according to Raja Vihari, very, very wonderful. Damodar Rati recently left her body also. And she had cancer, and it was painful, and she went to get some Ayurvedic treatment. She was laughing. She was laughing. Up to the last minute about she can't wait to go to be with Krishna. Play with Krishna. Her body's completely painful. She was just absorbed in a happy state. The devotees were describing this. They were amazed. What faith, what determination. So, when danger comes, these Suras and the Asuras behave differently, and the godly take shelter of Krishna. And the disparate, not desperate, but disparate, the uneven, the unequal position of where spirit, soul, in this field of the material energy, it's just an unnatural position to be in. The devotee takes shelter of Krishna, knowing that he's the master of the spiritual and material world. He will put the proper balance in that disparate situation, an equal situation. So, she continues, "Oh my lord, you are all powerful. A fiery iron arrow is coming toward me fast, my lord. Let it burn me personally, if you desire. But please do not let it burn and abort my embryo. Please do me this favor, oh my lord." So the devotees do ask Krishna for favors, but not for themselves. They, on the pure devotee level of Uttara, the mother of a child has a great responsibility in giving all protection to the child, and therefore Uttara was not ashamed to express this frankly before Lord Krishna. Uttara was the daughter of a great king, the wife of a great hero, and the student of a great devotee. And later she was the mother of a good king also. She was fortunate in every respect, but her, what was her fortune? Her shelter of Krishna, just as Yudhisthira. And so she took shelter of her exclusive shelter and anticipated protection. At least protection for the child. That's the consciousness of the devotee. They're not shy to take Krishna's shelter. I should not. I'm too busy. Too many things to do and I'm too intense.
The release of Brahmastra on Uttara was after Arjuna cuts his hair off and jewel and all.
As far as I can understand, yes.
And he doesn't have any power to release the Brahmastra, right, Brahmastra after.
I'm not so sure of this chronology now that you bring it up. As I was speaking it, actually, I was thinking, how is this? Because they banished him.
Yeah.
So how does he get away with, after being banished, still doing this dastardly deed? So there must be something else with the chronology. I don't know. But he certainly couldn't release it, or couldn't withdraw it. He didn't know that. That was one of his wrongs, of using something when he didn't know how to properly use it, something. But it did come after the funeral. So, can't say too much. Okay? Yes.
Guru Maharaj, Mother Uttara understood it is for Maharaj Parikshit, same that Maharaj Parikshit. How was it? Good. When the Brahmastra was coming, Mother Uttara understood that it is aimed at embryo in the womb. How was she able to perceive that it is aimed at, not at her, but at the embryo?
Perhaps, maybe, she understood the mentality of Ashvatthama. his business in killing with the five sleeping sons was to eliminate the successors to the throne. And she wasn't the successor to the throne, she didn't need to be eliminated.